Chapter 3. Franklin Blake Arrives. The Verinder's house was high above the Yorkshire coast and close to the sea. There were beautiful walks all around the area, except for one path which most people avoided. This path led through a forest to a little bay between low cliffs. When the tide was out, there was an area of quicksand which shivered, and so came to be known as the Shivering Sand. No boat went into that bay, and no children played there. Yet this was where Rosanna Spearman often went by herself to sit and work or to read. She always went alone. One day, Gabriel Betteridge found her sitting in the bay. She was wearing a little straw bonnet and a large grey cloak, which she always wore to hide her deformed shoulder. She was crying softly. Betteridge took out his handkerchief and asked her gently, "Why do you come here?"
"Something attracts me to it," Rosanna replied. "I try to keep away from it, but I can't."
"And why are you crying?"
"I am crying about all the years that have passed," she said quietly. "I cannot forget my past life."
Suddenly, there was a shout.
"Betteridge, is that you?"
Betteridge and Rosanna looked up. Walking down the path was a handsome young gentleman. He was dressed in a beautiful suit, with a rose in his buttonhole, and he had a bright smile on his face. Betteridge recognized him at once as Franklin Blake. As Blake approached, he smiled at Rosanna. Her face lit up, and she blushed deeply. Then she got up quickly and left them.
"Strange girl," said Blake to Betteridge. "I wonder what she finds so surprising in me."
"Perhaps it is your continental manner," Betteridge laughed.
"Come now, Mr. Blake. Your aunt and your cousin want to see you, although they were not expecting you to arrive until tonight."
Blake and Betteridge thought no more about Rosanna's strange behavior. They had forgotten all about her before her little gray cloak was out of sight. Neither of them had any idea what her behavior meant, but Betteridge would be very sorry for her when he eventually discovered the truth. As they walked towards the house, Blake explained to Betteridge that he had arrived earlier than expected because he had been followed and watched in London for the past 3 or 4 days by 3 Indian-looking men. He pulled a little sealed paper packet out of his pocket.
"They are interested in my great-uncle Herncastle's famous diamond," he exclaimed. "The colonel has died and left the diamond in his will as a birthday present to Rachel. His lawyer gave it to me to bring to her."
Betteridge told Blake that the last time he had seen the colonel was when he had come to Lady Verinder's house almost 2 years earlier. After the battles in India, the colonel had returned to England. But he had such a bad name that his niece, Lady Verinder, had refused to see him. He had arrived at her home on the night of Rachel's 16th birthday, just as the birthday dinner party was about to begin.
"Go up to my niece and say I've come to wish Rachel a happy birthday," he had told Betteridge.
Lady Verinder's reply had come back quickly.
"Tell Colonel Herncastle that Miss Verinder is busy and that I refuse to see him."
Betteridge had passed on the message as politely as he could. Without showing anger, but with a strange laugh, the colonel had said,
"Thank you, Betteridge. I shall always remember Rachel's birthday."
He turned around and walked out of the house. That was the last that Betteridge had heard of him.
"What happened after the colonel's death?"
Betteridge now asked. Blake began to explain.
"First, we had the diamond valued," he said. "We asked the top jewellers, and they all agreed that the colonel's diamond is one of the largest in the world. Its colour is unique, and the lowest estimate was about £20,000.
Betteridge looked shocked. Blake continued.
I discovered that servants of the old Brahmin superstition dedicated themselves to finding the sacred diamond. I wondered if the colonel thought that the diamond was being followed.
Blake stopped speaking, and the two men were silent. But their thoughts were the same. Had the colonel purposely left trouble and danger to his niece, Lady Verinder, through Rachel? Blake told Betteridge that he hadn't wanted to bring the diamond to Lady Verinder's home because he was so worried. However, his lawyer, Mr. Bruff, had explained to him that someone had to put the diamond into his cousin Rachel's hands, as the colonel's will specified.
I don't want to frighten my aunt and cousin without reason, but I don't want to leave the diamond with them without giving them a warning. What shall I do?
Blake asked Betteridge.
Wait,
advised Betteridge.
There's a month until Rachel's birthday. What shall I do with the diamond until then?
Inquired Blake.
Put it in the bank at Fritzing Hall. Do it now.
Blake's expression lightened immediately. He asked Betteridge to bring him a horse, and he rode off to put the cursed diamond in the bank.